Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island procrastination in the sunny slave South Pacific. That's also, incidentally, very slothful. Not only is it frickin' fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guests are Jan Irvin from Gnostic Media and Joseph Atwell, who wrote the book Caesar's Messiah. Guys, welcome back. Now, Jan, you were listing off a whole bunch of different cultural attributes there at the end of it, that it is this very agenda to, in my opinion, what happens with very strong belief structures, things that are based upon morality, for example, they're designed to resist corruption, resist encroachment of other exactly. Bad ideas and so on and so forth.
What better reason to start this entire psychedelic movement that attacks culture? That's what they're always talking about, saying how culture is supposedly bad. And I've heard Terrence McKenna say it hundreds of times in different lectures and things like that. I used to be into his work, right? But the reason why you attack culture is because culture is what keeps the people, or the tribe or whatever it is, the society, safe from outside attack. And excuse the term tribe, I'm just trying to think, clan might be a better term, because in Europe you still have a lot of clans and things like that that are still in existence. But these are based on a tight, close family unit. I used to live in Yugoslavia. I've spent a lot of time in South America. And, in Europe, the family structure is much different. Like, you have your grandparents live in the front house. You and your parents live in the back house. When the grandparents die, you tear down the grandparents' house and you build a new house there. And then, that's where you raise your kids. And then your parents die in their old house. And then the process repeats itself. And it goes on like this for centuries. If you need a babysitter, your aunts and uncles or grandparents are right there to help in this process. These are real family values. And so it was essential that this type of family be broken down. And first, in the United States, it's completely gone, because what they did was, in order for people to get house loans in the 1920s or 30s, after World War One or World War II, could have been the 40s, but people weren't allowed to get home loans if they had extended family, the aunts and uncles and grandparents moving into these locations. So it essentially became just the parents and then the siblings, and then they broke that further down with the feminist movement and these other movements, so that there is essentially for many families, there is no family background there in existence any longer. So if there is an attack on culture, which obviously there is, then there's nothing for these people to fall back on, and no family unit, no group there to support. Whereas in Europe and in South America, the entire civilization could collapse, and a lot of these people wouldn't even be affected, because their family unit is such where they, they produce their own food, they have their own cattle, their own, stuff, like, so many did in Peru when I was there, and they, just continue on. But if you do not have that family support, then you're pretty well doomed. So these attacks on the family and getting people not to have children, and putting kids in the compulsory education system that dumbs them down, and all of these things all add in together.
Whoa. What does it add together? Who is going to replace the family?
Nobody's going to. That's the problem.
I disagree. I think there's going to be a big daddy.
There's a big daddy to a point, but you have to understand that the big daddy is only there as a doctor eugenicist who's there to suffocate out those people. Right? It's not to continue those people under the government of, or the, under the tit of government in perpetuity. It's to end them and suffocate them out.
Let me get this straight. They try and convince us that we want to kill our fathers in order to have sex with our mothers so that they can kill us and take over the planet.
No, I think that's too
too simplified.
It's not the right way to look at it. I mean, Jan really hit upon the correct kind of understanding is that when you have extended family, it's very, very difficult for government to control. Just think about how much control that extended family when you really have connection of cousins and particularly extended families that are linked to other extended families. Okay, then contrast that with the single mom and the who's on welfare, or the single guy who is at bars at night, right? Now, these individuals are simply sitting ducks. Right? Yeah. They don't have any methods of support other than themselves. And because of the way they operate, they don't really even have much survival skills in themselves, right? So where is this going? This isn't going as it did in the first feudal system to slavery. They don't need these individuals as slaves. What would they do with them? They're absolutely useless. This is going to population reduction. They have softened us up. They have softened culture up
into
to
21
that that they can now very easily start reducing population dramatically and quickly, and no one will complain and no one will be able to resist, because the single mom and the lone wolf bar hopping male just don't really have any connections, right, that are strong enough for them to survive. They will simply end up, trying to find some way to get food. If you have real hard economic times come about through a designed implosion of the economic system, how are they going to survive? What are they going to do? So this really, I mean, the place we are now culturally, if you look at Europe, New Zealand, the United States, the place we are now is a place we've been brought to. And we weren't brought here to be ruled. We were brought here to be exterminated.
Okay. Well, that's something I've been worrying about quite extensively, Joe, is nobody in their right mind would try and do something like this to society. So it leads me to believe that the people that are doing this really aren't in their right mind. They've literally lost the plot. They've gone mad with power. And there's nothing that will convince them that what they're doing is wrong. They'll keep doing it until they're stopped.
Right. I mean, look, you couldn't do something like produce the psychedelic movement if you are operating under the kind of moral perspective that you're essentially concerned about here, right? If you were just think of all of the millions of people that had, bad psychedelic experiences, right? So if you can demonstrate, and I think that the research that we've done is pretty conclusive, if you can demonstrate that a group is planning on this broad scale of destruction, right? Then you just don't have to even worry about the next step in terms of population reduction. They've already crossed the line generations ago. There has to be, and this would be something that would be a real focus, I would hope, of the people who take the research seriously, is that they would try to understand who the group is. What keeps them able to not be discovered? How are they able to stay in operation and ruling in many ways, but not be detected? How do they do that? It's very, very frightening, and people who come to the point that they accept this research as plausible. You don't have to cross the line and say these guys are right, but just to the point that it's plausible, then this is a wake-up call of the highest order. You really need to get out there, organize, try to activate your political representatives, try to see if to what extent they can help. We really need to look at what's inside government, because when you see the results of MK Ultra, okay, when you see these results, there is something sick inside government. I mean, really, really sick. So It's powerful, it's pervasive, and it's got to have some sunlight put on it. We hope everyone will join in an effort to try to get this understood.
It's a massive effort, and people have been trying to expose the New World Order slash Illuminati slash whatever the heck you want to call it agenda for some time. And I believe, based upon my experiences, that the number of people who are aware of this agenda is growing dramatically and exponentially, I think, as well. It's only a matter of time before enough people know about it, before something will be done about it. Because everybody is talking about on the talk radio shows, attempting to tell people, wake up, go do something, go talk to your congressperson.
The problem, Vinny, let me just interject there. The problem, though, is that if you don't include critical thinking in a systematic process like the Trivium Method, people are left just out there doing anything, and then they're controlled opposition, and that's what this is about. You know, it's like the Wall Street protests and all of this stuff. If they study Clint Richardson's work on the CAFR and Walter Burian stuff, then they realize they shouldn't be at, you know, Wall Street. They should be at their local city hall. So it's about getting people to, you know, not attack the or not understand who the real perpetrator of these things is. It's not deflect things like, you know, the elitism and Zionism and a lot of these different things that are actually behind it. And help it to run. You know, I think a big part of the you know, it's certainly CIA, there's certainly Mossad elements in there, and there's a lot of other underground elements in there that need to be exposed. And so if you don't, you know, if you're not able to filter the fallacies out of your mind, if you're not able to gather information and come to certainty or truth with any information, and again, going back to them, you know, selling us this this agenda that there is no truth and there's a mosquito flying in front of me, then, you know, you don't even bother to look with the citations. And if you don't look for the citations, then guess what? You're not going to hit the right target. And so that's the goal is, you know, you waste all your time over here when the real goal or the real target that you need to deal with is over here. So, you know, just being, you know, somehow awake and politically active and, you know, whacking at the branches instead of covering, you know, cutting the roots out of the problem isn't really effective.
Well, can I ask then, what about simply, say, interviewing you and putting up a video about the Trivium or something of that nature? Even that small contribution, which doesn't take me very long, might actually help, right?
And well, so, sure, but it's, you know, it's also making sure that we don't send mental viruses downstream, and each one of us needs to partake in that. And, you know, just taking a few minutes to fact check any new information that we get before we send it downstream. Who, what, where, when, before we determine why or explain how. And so by this simple process, we each help uplift each other and, you know, not send, you know, the green fairy downstream that we can't prove, you know, I've got a green fairy in the corner, I'll sell you for $100 type of thing. And so, you know, it becomes, you know, this is a citation. Yes, I went to this book and I checked it. It is there. Here's the information, you know, and going back to, you know, this dumbing down bit, I, you know, a couple of years ago, I interviewed David Herrmann on my show from the Ayn Rand Institute. And this guy, he does a very detailed breakdown and destruction of quantum physics. And when you include things like quantum physics into the whole picture and realize that it's all about getting people in a sort of scientific matter to believe there is no truth, like, let me explain it this way. If logic is the art of non-contradictory identification, quantum physics would be the art of fitting as many contradictions into one time and space as possible. And so, you know, these physicists that promote this stuff, they don't study logic, and they can't see how absurd so many of their things are. If there is no truth, then like I mentioned earlier, you walk outside and your car is in a different place every time. You go to the grocery store, it doesn't matter what the cashier gives you as change, you just make it up and it's going to be the right change every time. I mean, this is the insanity that is sold. You know, the idea of the secret where you just go out and you know, you're going to think those thoughts and they're going to manifest how you want. And so this is all geared towards that type of thing. Get people to not be active and actually take action with your hands and words and getting real political movements going. Go over there, pillow sit, and be positive, and that's going to be your way to get active, right? You know, laziness and sitting and doing nothing is then portrayed as actually being active.
I think there's a long wake-up process because you go through an education system, you go through your perception blockers and things like that throughout life, then you start to become exposed to the information. And it takes a number of years before you've even got any kind of grasp onto it before you can go ahead and start doing anything in a lot of cases. What do you say?
Yeah, it's interesting. Jan and I are actually going to do a seminar in decoupling yourself from mind control. We've talked about this for some time, that having studied how it is developed, we believe that we can actually give value to people to leave the effects behind. And obviously, a reason, and particularly reason grounded in the five senses and logic, are key. But then you also have to have just some basic pillars of understanding. I mean, you have to turn off the mainstream media because obviously it's long since been controlled by the oligarchs, and the entire thing is just a system of mind control. And I do want to throw in a plug for you, Vinny. I think that the people that are using the internet to create alternative thinking and perspective on the news are really doing a tremendous service, because Jan is absolutely correct. If their mind is not working correctly, they're not going to do anything useful with the information. But they do, to get their mind working clearly, they have to go through a process. And the very first step is to wake up to the fact that there has been this attack upon their mind, and that they are their own victims. So often, you know, people have been turned into thought puppets, where they defend the very concept that is the most destructive to their well-being.
That's right. Yeah. You know, and let me just add real quick, Vinny, that you know, it's very important that people study the logical fallacies so that they can spot when they're lying to themselves and when others are lying to them.
Right.
Yeah. All right, realize. We'll be right back.
Bonkers.
I wake up every day as a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We are left now with Jan Ervin. We're left with Jan Ervin, like the dregs, because Joe has had a family emergency and he had to go. Now,
Speaking of extended family, right?
Yeah, synchronicity. I like that stuff. Now, we were talking about the Doors, right? You know, father, yes, son, I want to kill you. Mother,
right. The Oedipal complex.
Son. Okay, and you think about the defathering agenda. You think about Planned Parenthood, which used to be called the Americans Eugenic Society.
Yeah, well, sure,
you think about free love. And birth control, you think about eugenics, right? And then you think about trauma-based mind control and going through all this stuff, what kind of effect it has on you, what kind of effect it has on your culture, and how much it damages people's self-confidence to know that the system's against them in a lot of ways and stops them from actively inventing things and stops them from really making a contribution to society because they're too busy listening to music that puts them in a trance.
Well, one of Terence McKenna's quotes, I think, from Archaic Revival, it could be an invisible landscape, but he says that he wants all innovation and new inventions to stop for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, they want to stop everything and literally turn us into cave people.
It's getting outside their control. We've got the technology now to beat them and expose them, don't we? They created a monster.
Here's the problem is, it took us 58 years to figure this agenda out for our paper that we put out this week and getting documents from the CIA, going through all of these university archives and putting this stuff together. I mean, the fact that that Gordon Wasson, for instance, who is running MKUltra Subproject 58, got on and nobody bothered to check this guy's background for 50 some odd years. I mean, how does that happen? How could all of these scholars in the field just be so incompetent? And so that's really the real issue here is that, people need to learn to put grammar before logic. They need to ask who, what, where, and when before they determine why or how. Just because Wasson and the CIA says that James Moore was the CIA plant and that's the real story doesn't mean that that's the real story. You have to go and actually get documents and look through things and read things and find out for yourself. And, people will go through their entire lives believing lies and myths because they don't spend 10 or 20 minutes or even a few days to fact check things. And so, they'll say, well, I just don't have the time. Well, how do you have the time to dedicate your entire life to some lie and not a few hours or a few minutes to fact check it?
Oh, yeah. Stick that one in your pipe and smoke it, scholarly business.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever noticed that university no longer teaches critical thinking? It teaches people Absolutely. How to be critical of other people.
Well, get this. I've actually had people from other shows and stuff trying to debate me and tell me that you cannot use logical fallacies to filter your own thoughts, that it's only for debate. You can't use it to filter information coming in, like in TV commercials or what, the president is saying on TV. You can only use it in debate. Never mind that traditionally it was always used for all of these things, to filter your own thoughts, to catch the fallacies, and the word fallacy comes from Latin fallare, to lie. So, if we don't catch the lies in our own thoughts, before we send them downstream, not only how they affect other people, but what about how these lies affect us? And then on top of this, we're sold all of this quantum physics stuff that there is no truth, and you may as well not even bother. Just go live in a delusion, right? And so, part of regaining your self-esteem and your self-confidence back and taking power back from all of this is learning to fact-check things, learning that, when you're reading a book and there's a mention, somebody's name or a citation, go look it up. Go spend a few minutes to look it up. Or if it's in another book, I buy books all the time that are cited in other books, and I'll follow the whole trail out. I've written entire books, like my book, The Holy Mushroom, and the attacks on John Allegro that I published in 2008. All of the attacks against this Dead Sea Scroll scholar that said that Judeo-Christianity was based on a mushroom fertility cult, all of the attacks against him were started by Gordon Wasson, who we found out was CIA. And if it wasn't for beginning to research John Allegro's background and the whole story of all of these attacks against him back in 2006, it would have never led us here to exposing MKUltra Subproject 58. It was because we went in and said, okay, well, Gordon Wasson is saying all of these things about Allegro. Well, let's just fact check each thing that Allegro actually said. And then when we laid them all out in a list, literally every single claim against Allegro that was made by Wasson and the other ethnomycologists was a lie. Every single one we verified.
The depth of lies can be virtually infinite, I found. So this is how we made a point before. Can I finish this point? Sure. Just finish this point, because we talked about before about how could all these people be in operation for so long without people knowing about it or exposing it or whatever. And I think it's actually rather simple. They'd simply control all the investigation paradigms. So if you were to go to a police officer or something of that nature, there'd probably be a cop that's higher than him that is in some way in the employ. And then he would simply close down the... Well, you put people in key positions that are the ones who would decide whether or not investigations go through, things of that nature. Then there's the politicians and things. You can actually really keep a lid on things relatively easy with a small amount of people in key positions.
But what's the first step? Vinny, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
You know, they attack you, they attack your person, they'll ridicule you and cause all of these things to try and... First of all, make you feel crazy so that you don't pursue it. And then if that doesn't work, then they'll send their lapdogs in to attack you publicly so that it tries to frighten other people away from looking at your work. And this is why logic and the fallacies is so important, because when they say, you know, this person is a conspiracy theorist, therefore you don't listen to anything he says, you say, oh, well, that's an ad hominem attack. That's the same as name calling. You're a Republican, or you're a homosexual, or you're a Christian, or you wear pink shirts on Fridays. Therefore, anything you say is invalid. That's, of course, absolutely ridiculous. But this is the sort of nonsense that many people think with. And so, you know, or an appeal to ridicule, you know, I heard in my psychology class that conspiracy theorists have a psychological problem, you know, and it's like, well, I heard that people who create boxes to put, you know, and categories to put people in without fact-checking things are actually intellectually bankrupt, and that's the real problem here is, you know, they put their logic before their grammar. Rather than seeing and looking at the information that you're presenting, they attack you. They have a category or a box for you. So, you know, this is all part of the game. You know, and it's
on
top of...
I use wordplay. So if somebody calls me a conspiracy theorist, I go, yes, I am a conspiracy theorist. I believe that powerful people who have a lot of influence use their influence to gain more power.
Well, but see, you know, I mean, it's not really a theory. I mean, when you get into it and you begin to use citations like we have with the MKUltra Subproject 58 stuff, you know, we have CIA primary documents. It's fact. So why call it a theory when it's something that you can prove with original primary documents beyond any doubt? See?
Original primary documents, which would also include that Richard Nixon, and I also believe the precursor to the CIA, came up with the term conspiracy theorist as a method of discriminating against people.
Well, sure, of course. It's all PR. You know, they're always using ad hominem attacks and things like this to attack the man rather than the information. They want to discredit you and not get people to look at the information. And people fall for this stuff all the time. You know, you see it on Fox News in the U.S. and, you know, they'll sit there, oh, well, you know, this guy's a conspiracy theorist. That's so ridiculous. How stupid. These people have a mental problem. They see conspiracies, tin hat, you know, and they'll just sit there and they'll go on like this. And this is to berate the person and get the audience to just laugh and dismiss the information without ever once looking at it. And this is one of the ways that mind control works. So, you know, whenever you hear a politician or somebody name calling to dismiss information, rather than, you know, you agreeing with that attack, that should be your cue to say, oh, that was an ad hominem attack. I need to actually fact check what this person was saying. And ignore this name calling, you know, because, you know, kids in the sandbox, they name call. And I mean, you know, why would any thinking adult think that a fallacy, especially like name calling, is a valid argument? But, you know, I get people all of the time that will attack my research and say, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, or, you know, you've just gone crazy. Well, which points of my research are wrong? Can you show me which citations are wrong? And, of course, they've never even read the work. They don't have a single point that they can provide you that's wrong. And if they do have one single point, it very rarely affects the overall thesis. You know, and nobody who's actually read the work is going to make an attack like that. They're going to make, you know, a single point statement that we can both learn and grow from, so that we both gain from it. We don't name call. We don't It's not a playground.
I was once in a public meeting about the health, and I brought up the fluoride debate, and an old lady comes up to me afterwards and said, you know, before fluoride, well, everybody had terrible teeth, and you're wrong. And then she just walks off without even wanting to debate it. You know, it's just that I'm dumb, I don't listen, and I don't want to investigate, so I'm just going to make a one-word statement because that's about all I can muster, and then get the heck out of there before I can be proven wrong because I'm so afraid of it.
Sure. Well, and not only that, but right around the time the fluoride was put in the water, you know, dental hygiene and things starts going up. People start brushing their teeth. They have running water. So at the same time, you know, so what they do is they hide all of these things. But then it's Edward Bernays who actually sold this whole thing. And there's a really good video online. And let me see if I can find it here. But it's from like the 1950s. And it's, you know, it's up on... It's up on, you know, it's up on archive.org, but, you know, we have it linked there. It's like a 5-minute video, and they show them applying fluoride to the nervous system and just watching the entire thing fall dead. You know, fluoride is very, very poisonous. And another thing that people don't realize is that Prozac is made from fluoride. I forget the chemical name of Prozac, but it's like fluorine or fluoride. And so, you know, people don't realize that fluoride in the water, just like Prozac, if you're taking Prozac and it dumbs you down and lulls you and makes you feel good about everything and getting screwed by the government and all this crap that's going on, which is the real, you know, half the reason why they give people this stuff is to make you go back to sleep. You know, if people realize that all of that stuff is in the water and being given us in this multi-pronged attack, the wheat you eat, the high carbo diet, the low fat diet that they, you know, that the doctors all tell you, you know, more and more evidence is coming out all the time that the low fat thing is the cause of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, that wheat causes schizophrenia and the other mental problems. So you get on the low fat, high carbo, high wheat, high, you know, whole grain wheat, supposedly good for you. And it's wreaking havoc.
Advertising to the public for medical products like drugs. I just saw the first one that I've ever seen on New Zealand television last night, Jan. Okay, advertising medication for schizophrenia.
Wow, well, get this. I mean, you know, back in like the mid-90s, I forget when, maybe 2000-ish, it used to be illegal here in the U.S. for pharmaceutical companies to run commercials. So then, of course, you know, you get back scratching going on and all of this nonsense, circle jerk. And then, so for the last 10 years, we have pharmaceutical commercials on television. So it's not, you know, the doctor saying, you know, maybe we can try this medication for this specific problem and working on it. It's patients walking into doctor's office and demanding medications.
Kind of like advertising a Barbie to a small child and then getting that small child to nag the parent. Right. Instead, you get the parents to nag the doctor.
Right, and meanwhile, the low-fat, high-wheat, high-grain diet is probably the cause of 50% plus of the health problems out there. You know, people are running on carbos instead of fats. They're told, you know, the whole thing is just upside down. Last year and a half ago, I interviewed Dr. William Davis, who's the author of the best-selling book Wheat Belly, and he exposes the entire agenda behind wheat and how it's just literally a poison, and not just for the people who are allergic to it, but, you know, two slices of bread raises your insulin levels more than a tablespoon of sugar. So they feed children before school a bowl of cereal with sugar on it, so you have wheat that is sugar with sugar on top. And here, Sally run off to school now, and then at lunch, we give them a sandwich with wheat after school, maybe a burger or whatever they have, and, you know, so then the, you know, or pasta or something, and then, you know, so they get a whole day filled with wheat and all of this stuff that they can't process, and wheat has dramatic effects on the ability to think. Most people, when they stop eating wheat, for instance, after about the first week to 10 days, most people report it's like a cloud being lifted off their brains.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, because a cloud of advertisements is rolling in at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. We'll be right back.
know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Wrapping up here, talking about LSD, the agenda to destroy the family unit in order to control, and then, well, basically exterminate society. What are the conclusions behind the use of psychedelics and hallucinogens? Should people or should people not be taking them?
Well, that's actually where Joe and I differ in our conclusions. I'm an ethnomycologist, and I've studied psychedelics for more than 20 years. I've published books on them. I've taken them literally many hundreds of times. And after having studied the trivium method for several years, and in hindsight, and seeing how fallacies alone can be used to control someone, never mind all of these other mind control techniques, but just not having a systematic process like the trivium method and just not having a firm study in logical fallacies is enough to control anyone, whether or not they've taken LSD or mushrooms or not. And many people think that because they got high, that they're then free, you know, because they had a breakthrough experience. And it's not that easy. And so, you know, my personal position is that you should only take them after a very thorough study of the trivium and of the logical fallacies, so that if, you know, when you have people trying to take advantage of you, that you're able to spot it. When you know the logical fallacies by heart, you can spot most attempts at people trying to fool you or lie to you or trick you or manipulate you. And this is very important. Whereas Joe's position is that you shouldn't do them at all. And, you know, we've both done psychedelics. I've done them, like I said, many hundreds of times. I've got quite a lot of experience with many different psychedelics. And today, in hindsight, you know, and seeing all of the rabbit holes that I went down that were misleading through this, you know, Fourth World Wilderness agenda and through the new Dark Age, Archaic Revival propaganda out there, it's a very dangerous thing for people to do without a systematic method of critical thinking. And when a lot of the elites did them in the past, it was only after they had gone through trivium and quadrivium training. And so, you know, there's actually two forms of the trivium, essentially. There's the trivium method and the classical trivium. And the classical trivium is used to capture and enslave the mind, to encircle it, whereas the trivium method exposes that. And so, you know, until you're at a point when you can tell the difference between the trivium method and the classical trivium and how it's being, you know, how it's being, you know, attempted to be used against you or to free you, you probably should not use them. And so, you know, it can be very dangerous, and it's, you know, realize that if you're going to use them, that there are lots of people out there with agendas that want you and your children dumbed down, such as those coming out of the Esalen Institute.
So do the trips actually dumb people down, or is it just a potential if they don't know what they're doing?
It's not that the experience dumbs you down. What happens is that you have something that's a profound experience and you take it as spiritual. Okay, and that very may well be a spiritual experience, but the other guy who's sitting there taking advantage of the situation see it as something that puts you into, you know, what's that old book, not Rumpelstiltskin, the other one where, you know, the guy eats something, falls asleep under a tree, and years later he wakes up. Oh, shoot, I'm forgetting
Jack
the story.
Jack and the Beanstalk?
No, it's one of those, though. It's, oh, goodness, Rumpelstiltskin. Oh, shoot, now I can't think of it anyway.
What's the moral of the story?
Well, the moral of the story is, you know, this guy falls asleep and he's in this slumber for years and he's taken advantage of by all these gnomes or whatever in this other world, and he wakes up and everything's, you know, completely changed and different. But, you know, what you see as a spiritual experience, they see as getting you into a slumber or getting you into the state of positive thinking and not fact-checking and into believing only the spiritual world and not the reality we live in. Their goal is to get you off balance and only believe in that world and not, you know, vast face. Like in the Kabbalah, there's vast face and small face. And, you know, there's a balance between the two so that you can live in harmony with things. And if you're just positive thinking and not looking at so-called negative things, well, here's a news flash. Just because something is new or information doesn't make it negative. How do you judge whether something is supposedly negative that you haven't even looked at yet? You know, this is what we call killing the messenger. This is ignorance. And when you ignore something by choice and choose not to look at it before you've actually taken in and see what it said, that is the definition of ignorance.
Also, on this note, I've been to countless protests, and I have been told not to yell so loud through the megaphone or to change my message or tell me that I'm wrong or something of that nature. People telling me to stop calling the Prime Minister a scumbag. And as to say that if I call the Prime Minister a scumbag through a megaphone, all I'm doing is really saying that I'm a scumbag, that I'm projecting something. This is insane.
Yeah, this is the type of logic that, the reverse psychology that they want to use on us, that there is no truth and, you know, let's muddy everything sort of nonsense. And it's really damaging. Just because you call somebody a thief doesn't mean they're not a thief, right? And so, it's just a common tactic, and it's, you know, they're using a fallacy to attack you and, you know, say, oh, well, if you're saying those negative things, you're projecting. So what they're doing is they're essentially just using this to attack you instead of your message. But, you know, another thing that we have to be careful of, and I used to run protests for a long time, is that protests in many ways can be used again as group psychology rather than having a lot of individuals standing as a man and going to the court and taking your freedom back, for instance, from your corporate, you know, personhood and whatnot. You're standing there as a group, so then they can control you as a group. And another issue with protests is that they usually tend to focus on single or several issues that sort of whack at the branches but never really get down to the core issue. And so, you know, this is why the trivium is so important and getting people to wake up and understand the core foundations that are the problem so that, you know, we're not whacking at the branches. We can uplift everyone and empower people with, you know, critical thinking and filter the fallacies out of their thoughts or the lies out of their own thoughts and see the lies coming in so that then we're not wasting our time talking about nonsense, then we can focus on real solutions and, you know, real problems. As long as we're focused on fantasy and things that we don't verify before we send downstream, you know, we're wasting all of those people's time with nonsense thoughts instead of real solutions.
What about the creative process? If these bands, for example, had not taken LSD, would the music have been so much different?
Well, it probably, you know, would have been different. And I went to, you know, 7 or 8 Dead shows. And as is often said, you know, I never liked the Grateful Dead until I took LSD or something. I mean, you know, if the music sucks that bad that you have to be completely out of your mind to enjoy it, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, I mean, it's like, well, you know, that's true, you know, but, you know, and then I went back and then eventually I got high enough to like the music, right? And so, you know, it's like, did I condition myself to finally like it or what? But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember what Bill Hicks said about this. You know, if you want drugs to be illegal, go home, get all your records, all your CDs, all your tapes, and just burn them because all
burn
of
them,
those
sure.
artists, you know.
Well, sure, you know, Bill Hicks is often quoted in that regard, and sure, there may be some truth to that, and there may not be. How much of that agenda is just being sold to dumb people down, but. You know, if, you know, like, for instance, when you study the trivium and quadrivium, the quadrivium is arithmetic, geometry, music, and astronomy. Arithmetic is number in itself. Geometry is number in space. Music is number in time. And astronomy is number in space and time. And when you study that, you actually have a core foundation of music itself. So imagine rather than, you know, creating a bunch of drug musicians, give them the tools of the trivium and quadrivium and the foundations of how, you know, chords and strings and all these were invented and where it all comes from so that they no longer rely on the music teacher and then see what sort of music develops, you know. And so, you know, when people have a true music talent, it's like, if you go back and you think of like the a cappella in the 1920s and 30s and 40s in the U.S. versus not all, but much of today's rap music. And you look back at that stuff, and I mean, it's just amazing music, whereas a lot of the rap, and I'm not saying all of it, but a lot of the rap, a lot of the gangster rap, crime, you know, it's there's not a whole lot of depth to this music. And so, you know, there's a bit of that, you know. We need to go back to a real education and getting real meaning in things and not this whole debasing of culture on every level.
Yeah. Well, if people want real music, you've got to be a real musician. But a real musician isn't necessarily one that is in a school of music, you know.
Well, and that's the difference between the trivium and the quadrivium is it's not about a school. It's about learning how notes and all of these things actually were developed and what they all do and what they mean. And so we actually have a real understanding through the origins, where the ancients, wherever they were, how they created this stuff. And when we have that, then we can work forward.
Yeah. Jan Irvin is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. Moving forward, you can check him out at, is it GnosticMedia.com?
It is. And TriviumEducation.com as well.
All right. Now, just think about a three-piece band called Trivium to get the music.
Well, there's already a Trivium band out there, but don't forget to mention Joe Atwell's site as well.
Oh, yes, that's right. Is it CaesarsMessiah.com?
Well, Caesar's Messiah is his book. I don't remember the name. He's also got a new video out, Caesar's Messiah, The Roman Conspiracy to Invent Jesus. I apologize, Joe, for not remembering the name or your website address off the top of my head. Google it, everyone. Joe Atwell, A-T-W-I-L-L.
All right. Joseph Atwell, Fire Atwell. We'll be right back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.